Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Gambling is wrong because it tries to make the end justify the means, and such is as perilous in rationalization as it can be. Next, gambling is wrong because it looks to luck and fortune. It doesn't look to the Lord and faith. Gambling is a rejection of God's providence in our lives. And again, gambling violates Matthew 5, verse 16, which says that we are to allow our lights to shine before men in order that God might be glorified by our good works. Gambling is a work of darkness, never a work of true light. And then gambling is wrong because it violates the Christian charge that we are to do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6, verse 10. Well, what then is the clear line of distinction between gambling, which is a vicious and a corrupting sin, and the taking of risk, which are essential to productive living? Well, gambling is sinful because it involves the desire to obtain something for nothing, something which belongs to another person or persons. It's been styled stealing by permission. It's an agreed-upon form of stealing. There are three right ways of obtaining money. One, money can be earned, Genesis 3:19, Matthew 20, verse 8. Number two, money can be given to one as a gift. And three, there are occasions when money has been found and there was no known way of determining who had lost it. And the Lord talked about a similar situation in Matthew 13, verse 44. Well, these three honorable ways of obtaining money are legitimate. But there's a fourth way to obtain money, and that's through stealing. Obtaining money through stealing is sinful, Ephesians 4:28 and Romans 13, verse 9. What one receives from gambling hasn't been earned. It's not a gift. It was not found. Therefore, the only category into which the money obtained by gambling can be placed is stealing. Stealing by consent. Someone will say, well, it's not stealing because the parties agree to it. Well, suppose various ones agreed to commit immorality, or they consent and agree to murder someone. Would it be right to engage in these things simply because people agreed to them? Well, let us specify some areas that are not gambling, but sometimes the accusation is made. Number one, putting money into the bank and drawing interest from it is not gambling. Such a situation is right. Our Lord said it was so in Matthew 25, verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers at my coming, I should have received back mine own with interest. So our Lord endorsed the principle of getting one's money back with interest. Number two, the genuine investor in stocks and bonds falls into the same category since these represent partial ownership of productive facilities such as factories and industrial plants or transportation facilities, mines, so forth. Then someone says, well, do you have insurance? That's a gamble. But insurance is not gambling. One pays for protection for the inevitable possibilities of illness or injury or death or the damage to property or the destruction of property. And so carrying an insurance policy is not gambling. But some pervert the scriptures in an effort to justify gambling. There are those who contend that the Bible approved gambling, and then they'll refer to the assignment of tribal lands, such as Numbers 26, verse 55, or the office of rotation that's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 24, verse 5, or the selection of the apostle Matthias when they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, Acts 1, verse 26. But in each one of these cases, it was not a matter of the people gambling and by chance arriving at whatever result as in the case of gambling, but rather this was God's way of making his choice known to the people. We read in Proverbs 16, verse 33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Well, how can we avoid gambling? Well, first, don't begin with small bets or wagers such as who pays for the Cokes, or don't flip coin like heads or tails and then decisions made involving money, or throwing dice, or betting on the golf course score, or putting a dollar or so in the office pool over a sports event. And then even the selling of chance. What is little today may become a paycheck tomorrow, or one's house, or one's property on a distant tomorrow. We need to avoid gambling. It's a sure way to get hurt now, and can pave the way to perdition at last. It's not a national pastime to real prosperity. It is your bet to poverty of soul and perdition in the next world. And even if gambling produced an abundance of national wealth, it would still be wrong, wrote the editor of the Commercial Appeal in 1987. "Beware of gambling as one would a deadly rattlesnake, for it's just as lethal. And don't be taken in by some of these ideas that, well, life is a gamble, insurance is a gamble, we take chances every day." And listen to what some noted men have said about gambling. George Bernard Shaw said, "A citizen who is neither producing goods nor performing service is in effect a beggar or a thief. Gambling, or the attempt to get money without earning it, is a vice, which is economically ruinous." Thomas Dewey, former governor of New York, made the statement, quote, "Gambling on professional sports events has been the most demoralizing and destructive influence in American sports. The entire history of legalizing gambling in this country and abroad shows that it has brought nothing but poverty, crime, and corruption, demoralization of moral and ethical standards, and ultimately a lower living standard and misery for all the people." Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of our nation, said that regular gamblers were, quote, "a set of men certainly not following for a livelihood a very useful or honest occupation." And George Washington, Revolutionary War general, father of our country, and the first president, said, quote, "It is the child of avarice, the brother of iniquity, the father of mischief." And he was speaking about gambling. Estes Kefauver, former senator of this great state, made the statement, quote, "It is my opinion that the big-time gambling is immoral. I refer particularly to the casino type of operation, which is more often crooked than not, and that legalizing it will not make it less so. Gambling produces nothing and adds nothing to the economy or society of our nation. America will be in a bad way if we ever have to resort to taxing crime and immorality for the purpose of raising revenue to operate our institutions. The fascination of gambling to many people is so strong that, in my opinion, it would be complete folly to make the facilities more available than they presently are," unquote. Another governor of the state of Tennessee said, quote, "Shame, sorrow, and human degradation inevitably promotes and thrives upon professional gambling." And I doubt it, a great preacher of the past once said, "I am glad to say that I've never engaged in any form of gambling. My parents taught me from childhood to look upon gambling as a low, cheap, foolish, and sinful habit. Well, what he said is well stated.